Hello, everyone, and welcome to this episode of the Standout Job Seeker podcast presented by JobScan. I'm your host, Sydney Myers, and today I talked to Michael Lord, who is the VP of Operations at 1-800-GOT-JUNK, and he shared his career story in this interview, and there is so much here that I think y'all are really going to enjoy. So he talks about starting his career at McDonald's, starting from, you know, entry-level teenager job to becoming business consultant, project deployment consultant, and then continuing to grow at 1-800-GOT-JUNK to eventually becoming the VP of operations. The lessons that he has in here makes growth feel so attainable. And so I really enjoyed a lot of these lessons. I think that you'll enjoy them too. If you're in your career and you want to know how do you earn that promotion, or, you know, if you're interviewing for a job that would be a promotion, what can you do in the interview, or how can you reach out and find those opportunities that it seems like everyone else gets? How can you get those opportunities for yourself? So there's a lot in here. Definitely listen to the whole thing. Michael, thank you so much for joining. Thank you for listening. If you enjoy this episode, please leave us a rating on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, wherever you're listening. We really appreciate it. The audience is growing so much. So I'm so happy about that. I'm so glad that y'all have enjoyed every episode. And this is another great one. So let's get to this interview with Michael Lord, the VP of Operations at 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Okay, so Michael, as always, I want to start at the beginning. The first role that I see for you on LinkedIn was at McDonald's as the general manager. Is that where your career started, or how did you get into that role?
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, Sydney. Great question. I would say yes, that's where my career certainly started. There was a lot of embarrassing teenager jobs before that, but that was probably where I recognized that management and operations was probably going to be my path.
Okay, interesting. So then did you start at McDonald's as like a cashier working behind the bar kind of thing?
You know, Sydney, it's not even that good. It's worse than that.
Not even that glamorous?
Just emptying garbages. And I actually had to work really hard to get to that role. I would like fill up the ice, change like the beverage station and make sure there was cola and make sure there was straws for people to use. So I did eventually move into that. But yeah, I started right bottom and I learned all about what went into the in those complicated businesses.
Yeah. So this is actually totally interesting to me because one of my first jobs, I worked at Arby's and I was, once I got a job there, I was like the biggest Arby's ambassador. But I did a lot of the like refilling the sauces, like the ketchup, the pumps for the ketchup and the mustard. Yes. Never did the ice because I wasn't strong enough. Did a lot of cleaning bathrooms. I will say the men's restroom was always so much dirtier than the women's restroom. I don't know what it is. It was just dirt, like more dirt. And I'm just like, where does this dirt come from?
Because it's where does it come from? Yes.
I know, but yeah. So yeah, I did that. And then I was also a cashier. So my favorite thing was working drive through. I had like my headset and the little belt thing and I pushed the button. Yeah. So I did that.
Sydney, that's a shared experience for us. I mean, it's such a complicated starting point for so many because it involves so much. But anytime I see anybody with fast food experience on their resume, I know that they've got some resilience.
Yeah, it's tough. So how did you, first of all, have the resilience? I like that word to stay in that role, because for a lot of people, that kind of job is like it's just sort of transient in nature. So how did you stay in that, grow in that, and eventually get the general manager job?
Yeah, there's two answers to that question. I think the first answer is I saw some opportunity to take on some responsibility that just frankly would increase the size of my paycheck. And as an 18-year-old, that was pretty exciting to me. And then the more personal answer is I wasn't in a situation with my family financially. I mean, my parents, I wasn't a parent, where just college and that path wasn't something that I necessarily had in front of me. So my choices were at the time like, hey, let's make money to save for college, or let's get into the trades and go in that direction. And so the choice for me was like, how do I take on more responsibility in this little factory called McDonald's? And you make a bit more money. And that was really the motivation for me. That turned into a career that was almost 18 years long.
Yeah. So for you, it was more like seeing it as an opportunity and like taking advantage of that, rather than just like, this is kind of a quick summer job that I have or something. Yeah.
Well, I think for most people in fast food, it certainly started as that quick yeah. summer job. But then very quickly, I recognized there was a growth path there. And I just kind of dug my claws in.
Yeah. I think that is such a good way, like such a good attitude for not just like, you know, your first few jobs, but really any job. Because even my first few jobs where I worked at like Arby's or when I did cashier work, I always learned something from it or got something out of it, because I viewed it as like a job and I was going to go there and perform and learn something. It wasn't like a hassle or something I hated. And I think that kind of makes it easier to, because then you do learn and you do grow, and then it leads to things like general manager and roles like that.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Yeah. The skills I learned, you know, in those first few years there, like problem solving, like being patient, exercising patience, those are things that have stuck with me my whole life. And mm-hmm. I really recognize that.
So then, did you eventually go to college? You mentioned that you were saving up. So how did that path go?
Let's just say this. I went to college for 5 minutes. I recognized that it wasn't for me. And I was having too much fun making money. And I managed to just do a quick pivot and focus on my path on taking on some more responsibility and management.
Interesting. Was it actually 5 minutes, or it was just like really short?
It was really short. Yeah. I say 5 minutes because it feels like a cup of coffee. I have very little memory even of being involved, but I made a quick pivot and had to go in a different direction.
Okay. So then how did you, because at McDonald's, you were there for 15, almost 16 years, and you had roles as consultant, operations, project deployment. So how did you manage your career growth there? A lot of people might think that like, oh, I don't have a degree. I need to go get that if I want this role. How did you make that work? How did you grow in your career at McDonald's there?
I mean, so there's a couple of things the company does really, really well. And I want to recognize those things. And then I'll tell you what I did. The company recognizes that retaining its talent by providing opportunities for growth is the most efficient way to control costs. But also at the same time, when you have people with high get it factor, their subject matter areas in that business type, keeping them in that business is good for everybody. It's good for credibility of those people. It's good for the opportunity to bring in perspectives based on previous experience in the same company. So that's what they do really well. So there's like path options as you progress your career. What I did, I learned very quickly to say, yeah, I can do that. And really not turning down opportunities, even if I at the time didn't have the full skill. And in recognition of that and being open to trying different things and seeing opportunities, I was able to step into some things that I really never thought I'd be doing, even just a couple of years earlier. And that project deployment role you referenced is an example, where I was traveling all over Western Canada, helping franchisees deploy a technology system. 8 years earlier, I was flipping burgers. And so that never would have come to fruition unless I was asked some questions about my ability to get involved in that, or even if I was interested earlier on.
Interesting. So then how did you find out about those opportunities, or did people come to you with them?
I had a lot of roles in that organization. I'd say a lot of them were presented to me because some of my skills, and others were in a few cases, things that I was able to offer, where I would hear that there's a resourcing gap in a certain part of the business, or there's a challenge with a certain project or procedure or an area where we needed to develop strength. And then I would just lean into that and offer support services. And sometimes that would be a side of my desk job, and sometimes it would turn into the full-time job. And with each advancement, I would grow skill, and it's a lot of fun.
Okay. So then, so here's a thought I had, and tell me if I'm wrong. So like, you might've had a role that is this, and it's very defined. And then a project comes up that might be like somewhat related or maybe not even related. And you had to be open to, I guess you had to be flexible to kind of take on, maybe have like a more open career path. Does that seem to fit?
Yeah, I think what I'm hearing there is like, Mike, you had this open mind change and an orientation to the unknown. Yes. I mean, there was a couple roles I had where I helped my manager create the job description because they didn't exist. And that was really exciting for me to be able to say, like, here's how I think I should do this and work with somebody to do that. You know, as a 26-year-old, it's terrifying. But once you start to recognize, like, hey, like, you know, it's not that hard. We just need to make this process. We need this vendor. We need to work with this technology. It's really fun. And because I, you know, sometimes to my detriment, wasn't good at saying no, I was constantly getting new experiences thrown at me. Excuse me.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, that's interesting because, and you know what, it's funny, you're not even like the first person to say that they got to create a job description because the role didn't exist. That I've noticed that happens a lot when I'm doing these interviews with really successful people. A lot of times that's what happens, is that they make themselves available for any kind of growth. And a lot of times it means that their career path is not, you know, cookie cutter. It kind of goes in different directions, but the whole time they're growing, which I think is an interesting point. Like, I think for myself, I'm in content marketing. So I started as a content specialist and then a manager and then director and whatever. But it's like really being open to growth, and like that growth might mean that it's in a few other areas where it might be varied a little bit, but that's how you grow.
Yeah. So, I mean, anytime I could experience, you know, a new sector of the business, yeah, marketing, paid search, sales, technology, I would just really jump in at those opportunities. Project management was something that was really exciting to me. Some of your listeners might be thinking, really? But it was just anytime I could do something that wasn't what I was doing before.
Okay.
That organization really allowed that.
Okay. So then, so I want to get a little more specific into like, how did you find out about the opportunities? You said some of them came to you, but some of them you reached out for. So like, can you think of a specific example of one of those and how you found out about it or how you put yourself in the conversation?
Yeah. I mean, the one that comes to mind for me certainly was, there was this huge project and really this test market that was going to be built around completely different way of running that business in actually Northern Canada. And early conversations about the scope of this project, it was clear to me that they were going to need a humongous team of change agents that were going to be able to get into the field and work with franchisees. And I was kind of coming off one project and I mentioned to somebody that that's an area based on, you know, the role would involve some travel. So just based on my personal life, based on what was going on, that if there was any opportunities there, I'd be really happy to, you know, sit in on some meetings and share some perspectives. And very quickly, leading those meetings became creating the manuals for the projects, became managing the project. And so just by inserting myself and sharing where I felt like there was some value, some doors open. And that can happen really quickly sometimes, depending on the level of change happening in a business.
Yeah, that's a really good point because I've actually experienced the same thing. And I guess it's interesting to hear that is kind of just how it works. Like, I've been in some things where I started off just being in the meeting, like, and I wasn't really sure why. But then like, I always contributed because that's just like what I do. So I'd always kind of contribute to the conversation. And then eventually I would have an idea for something of like a new process or how we could do something. And then that eventually became a side project or a task. And then it kind of just, it builds and it leads. So, okay, yeah, that makes sense. So then in those situations, how did you manage the workload? Like you talked about how sometimes it would be like a side of the desk project. So how did you manage like having a full-time job while wanting to reach out and grow?
Well, that's a great question. And I think I said this earlier, sometimes to my detriment, I don't say no. And so
okay.
I haven't always been great at that. I often will take on more than I can chew. I'll often overcommit and extend. I have not, I would say, have I experienced some burnout in life? Yeah. But what I've learned from that, what I've gained from that, knowing my limitations, being able to understand what I was capable of, even in itself was a huge benefit to me. So yeah, I've said a little more concisely, like, yeah, I've taken on too much. I'm probably not the best person at telling you the best ways to those choices.
Yeah.
But know what your priorities are and just recognize your limits.
Okay, interesting. Really quickly, I'm curious, like what led to the burnout for people who want to avoid that?
I think in any role that involves time away from home, there needs to be some very intentional effort to making sure that you're not just working and commuting. You've got to be able to be intentional, spending some time for yourself, whether it be exercise, having a hobby or creating experiences. So when you're traveling, you have something else to look forward to besides just the next day. And when you're commuting a lot, you're on an airplane 3 or 4 days a week, that between your day job, you're on an airplane or in an Uber, and that can be immensely taxing.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay. Yeah, I struggle with that. The taking time for myself, like I have hobbies, but also like marketing is one of my hobbies. So it's hard to not be thinking about it or doing some kind of work. So that's good advice. Okay. So at McDonald's, general manager, deployment consultant, operations consultant, I guess through all of that, is that story of growth the same? Or are there like kind of nuggets in there of like, oh, actually I got this role because of this happened? Or was it more like we were talking about your mindset and reaching out for more?
You know, it's kind of part of my mythos. It's like you've always really got to have something you're learning and ideally kind of connecting it to what you think might be coming next. Sometimes you get that wrong and you take the wrong class, but
yeah,
however you learn, a book, a podcast like this, leaning into that and being intentional is something I certainly say is what I'd recommend.
Yeah. That's another thing that I've noticed in talking to different career professionals is that having the learning mindset, that seems to be a consistent factor. Just like having that mindset, but also just kind of naturally always wanting to be learning and enjoying the process. And that, I mean, it makes sense. It's going to help you grow in that way. So then, so you're at McDonald's for 16 years, which is an amazing career. So I have to ask, like, what happened? Like, what made you want to leave that kind of solid career like that?
Yeah, I'd say there was a few things that lined up. One was the large project that I was working on was beginning to wind down. It wasn't clear for me what was next within the organization, where I had this really long streak of things that got me excited. What was kind of next was something that I had done before. And I had done an okay job in that. Just me kind of going back to that didn't feel like the right move for me because, again, like I said, I want to be learning.
Yeah.
And I had come across this company called 1-800-GOT-JUNK. I had used them as a vendor on a project, actually. And I used them in a pinch back at home. They were about to go on a significant growth path. And talking to some of the leaders in that organization because of a job posting, it got me really excited because I saw opportunity for me to take all the learnings that I have had and apply them to a different franchise business that's in a younger age of their life and still in rapid growth mode. And I took the job and here I am.
Okay. So that's the role. So your first role at 1-800-GOT-JUNK was franchise operations manager. Okay.
That's right.
And then, so you found that just through like a job listing, like on Indeed or something?
It was an Indeed.ca posting. And I remember the interview process vividly. This company really hires for culture. So I met everybody and it was a ton of fun.
That's interesting. So how many interviews did you do total?
That is an interesting question because it's actually a bit of a not well-kept inside joke in the company because people will ask, how many interviews have you had? And so I had over 10. By today, I think that would be too many is what people might say. But we would always kind of measure like, how many interviews did you get? And if you get under 3, it's like, oh man, they must have really liked you. And there'd be some kind of fake, sarcastic promo there. But the great thing is though that practice may not work all the time, you are really sure about your hires and you're also testing the commit of people's patience to go through a process like that.
Yeah. So then how did you, this is a question that like so many people are going to ask. You apply for the job. I'm sure there are probably a ton of people who applied. This was in 2016. So how did you stand out? Like, I mean, I don't know, everything from resume, application, interviews, like what do you think made you stand out above the other candidates?
I think, a couple things. Because my fortunate path and my previous roles, and at the same time, I was a business owner too. I'd opened up a couple businesses and I was learning about startup and entrepreneurship on the side, which 1-800-GOT-JUNK is very much a promoter of like supporting small business. Okay. I had these kind of, I was identified, I think, as a really good generalist. Like I know enough about marketing and finance, HR, that I could kind of come in and do a little bit of damage in the way they wanted. And so that's what was told to me is what made me where there was some appetite.
Okay. So basically you were individually a really good fit for what they were looking for. Yeah. And I mean, like, honestly, a lot of times it's that, like it's, you know, I say this all the time, you could have a job that has a certain job title. But if you look at that same job title for 10 different listings, you're going to see 10 different job descriptions because what each one of those companies is looking for is going to be a little bit different. And you have to be the one that is the best match, which it seems like you were. And then also you think like your previous experience obviously is going to be a big part of that too.
Yeah, for sure. Well said.
Okay. And then what are some things that you do intentionally, like going into an interview or in an interview to make sure it goes well or to show that you're a good fit for the role?
I think so for me, and it's been a long time since I've been in an interview on that side of the table, but what I appreciate when I'm interviewing somebody, what I hear from them that I try to do is to bring some really intentional questions. The purpose behind that, Sydney, is I oftentimes find that people are really excited to demonstrate they're a fit before they really understand what the role is. And when I'm trying to onboard somebody or recruit somebody or vice versa, if I'm applying, I think we have to start with understanding. Understanding is, what does my day-to-day look like? What are my OKRs? What is something I would need to accomplish in my first 6 months? And those are very simple versions of, could be the powerful versions of those questions. But just to start with, what are we going to do here? And what is expected of me before just the demonstration that I have all the things in your list?
Yeah, yeah. That's such a good point. And I like the point too, like this whole idea of like being a good fit. Sometimes it is just about that, like what I was saying earlier, you match what they're looking for. Did you ever have situations just like in your career in general where you could sense that you were not a good fit? And then what, like, where did you go from there? I think some people would be afraid to like not take a job, but did you ever have that happen to you?
There was a period of time where, so the answer is yes. So I said earlier, I've owned and operated a few businesses as well. And there was one business that I had that I knew very early on that I had made a bit of a mistake. And I knew that because it involved me having to do a type of client management and sales that just did not charge my batteries. Mm. It put me in a place where, you know, that business had not made really any money yet besides deposits. And it was a little difficult to get out of bed on Sunday morning and go, boy, I'm about to spend 4 hours on this thing that I don't really want to do, nor am I good at, and nor am I learning. And those are those three criteria again. As I said earlier, got to be continuously learning, and then be something you're good at is great, and then something that charges your batteries. Now we're really talking. And it just did none of those things. So to the surprise of no one, I closed that business after four very short months of effort, because I just knew that long-term, it wasn't going to give me what I needed because I wasn't invested.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, I've definitely had jobs like that too. And it's really tough. Yeah, it can be tough. Okay, so then I want to dig more into your career at the current company that you're at, 1-800-GOT-JUNK. So you started there as the franchise operations manager, grew into senior manager of franchise operations, regional director. So how did you grow in that career? It seems like it was maybe a little more linear of staying in operations. How did you grow into each role?
Yeah, you're right. It was more linear. And more linear, I wouldn't say significantly more, because even though the roles themselves are expansions of responsibility in the same areas, there was a lot of tack-on responsibility that came with those things as well, where it would be like, what was before my day job, just as you would maybe go from a marketing manager to a marketing director, it's like, hey, and you have financial responsibility, or your team doubles in size and you're doing more people management and people development versus just tactical paid search work. So there was changes there. How did I do that? I think it comes back to saying yes, being intentional on putting your hand up and not being afraid to try something new. I put a lot of intentional effort into developing my soft skills. So communication, problem solving, how to develop a strong, committed team, things I still have to learn a lot about, but intentionally, I really work there. And then the last of those three things would be to seek feedback. Regularly asking for constructive feedback from colleagues and mentors to identify areas of improvement, even if it's just for awareness, Sydney. To be showing people some vulnerability and the fact that I'm capable of getting better all the time, that's been a real silver bullet for me.
Okay, interesting. So the soft skills thing I wanted to dig into, because I don't know about anyone listening, but sometimes I think that the soft skills on a job description or whatever, like, don't really matter, because they really just want somebody who can do the work. But it sounds like that made a huge difference for you in growing. I guess I'd also like to hear your perspective in hiring of how much of a difference does it make. But it sounds like that was a really significant part of how you earned those promotions.
I mean, my experience as a people leader, Sydney, is it's actually the lack of soft skills that holds people back from growth. Because the resume, and even in an hour or a 2 hour interview, it's very difficult to ascertain somebody's soft skills. Like that, that is something that you will learn over time. So somebody may be able to get a job because of their skills, their education, and their experience, but keeping a job, advancing their career, is about the things the employers really want. And what employers really want are your ability to build and maintain relationships, navigate complex situations, be a good listener, be a good communicator, and achieve your goals. And while as getting the job is about demonstrating you can just go achieve the goals. People wanting to work with you is very dependent on your ability to demonstrate you can work with them. I think everybody's had a member of their team in their life at some point where it's like, oh man, I got to go work with Mike, eye roll time. And when you are that person, you are probably not going to grow your career. Or if you do, you'll take one step forward and one step. So soft skills. So
yeah, interesting.
Very important. Yeah. So I, lots of opinions there. Just thanks for letting me share that.
So then how, okay, you were talking about how it's hard to ascertain in an interview. Okay, I have two questions then. So then how do you demonstrate soft skills when you're interviewing, like when you're doing a job interview for a role you want?
Yeah, I think, so being conversational and being less of a facilitator is a way for you to show glimpses of yourself. I have been on both sides of the table where an interview is happening and there's been this strong feeling that there's an obligation to present information and talk at someone. Mm-hmm. Well, as having a conversation and getting them to see you or for you to see someone you're interviewing, you're going to get a much better idea of who you're about to work for and for them to get an idea of who you really are. And the way that I do that, and some recruiters may not love this, is I just drop my formality through the floor. And I talk like I talk to my friends, like I talk to my like my parents, even maybe my young daughter. And I let people see me for who I am versus being rigid or showing up as a character myself or a version of myself versus my real self.
Yeah. So then, okay, what about for a person that might be like introverted or kind of shy? How would it? Okay, so now going from the point of view of somebody who is interviewing a candidate, if you sense that they are like that, is like, does that count as a negative? Or like, how do you still see those soft skills in them?
So you're asking me when I'm interviewing someone that could be introverted or if I was introverted? Sorry, just so I'm clear.
I mean both, honestly. I'm trying to position it in a way that is not like, is very like low stakes, but like, let's say a person is like, okay, that's great. I need to be conversational, but I'm really shy and introverted.
I mean, they might have a huge advantage in these situations. Like if you are an introvert and you're hearing me right now, and you're not outwardly expressive, soft skills can give introverts a huge edge in how they show up and engage with others. And how they do that is their ability to be very precise in what they communicate. There's a lot of intentionality behind it. Their soft skills that will come out more organically are active listening, empathy, resilience and adaptability, conflict resolution. These things come very naturally to an introvert, while as somebody that's extroverted, may not be perceived to be communicating as clearly because they're rushing through their work. Or instead of conflict resolution, there could be a perception that of someone that is extroverted to be creating conflict because they're assertiveness. So I think it's sometimes a different set of soft skills. But my experience has been that introverts have some advantage here because the intentionality that they present in these conversations.
Yeah. Okay. So then going back to how you were saying that it's so hard to ascertain soft skills in an interview, does that mean that you kind of push them to the side a little bit, that applicants are more evaluated on their hard skills than soft skills, like they're not as important?
That's a great question. I think it comes back to it. What's the role? What's expected to be a requirement, those hard skills for the role? My experience there is the hard skills are going to be looked at. So if you're putting your resume into like a website or a matrix, or you're handing it to somebody regardless, their hiring staff is going to want to make sure very early on that you have the minimum requirements to achieve your goals. Okay. That's a reality. You need to be a Salesforce administrator because you need to understand how to do that. If you don't have that skill, that can be your break. The soft skills will often come later in the process where they're now no longer looking the minimum requirements to the job. And that fit comes from the ability to communicate with others, the ability to collaborate and work within a larger organization versus just showing up with the minimums.
Yeah. Okay. So resume is really for hard skills. Interview is really for soft skills, which makes sense. I mean, that's why we don't hire based on resumes only. Yeah. Okay. So I want to finish up with your current role as VP of operations. What would you say is the key to growing into that kind of leadership role? What led you to earning that kind of role in your career?
I can tell you what I believe has been. And I think this is a question that, depending on the leader you're asking, you can get very different answers. So it's a really interesting one. So thank you for asking it. Where I've had success is working with core leaders across a team and to really integrate myself into their teams to provide a value is one. So said differently, I work well with others and I intentionally say yes. The second part of that is to surround yourself with people that take high ownership in their business area. So if you're in operations, if you're in learning, if you're in the people space, as you recruit in the future or now, and as you grow your team, to make really intentional choices to bring in people that will take tremendous accountability. And when you are able to do that, the commit level within the culture of the team that you develop becomes so high that they start really operating like owners of the business themselves, even though they're employees. And that's a really magical thing that many leaders may not have the opportunity to come across a ton of times in their careers. And I have been very fortunate to work with some outstanding people and to be able to retain some outstanding people. And that's made it a little easier for me. So I'm thankful of that. And there's also a lot of intentionality behind that too, to keep them engaged.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally agree with that, that working with people like high accountability people who are really great at their job. I want to work with the best because it pushes me to do my best because I got to keep up with them. And then also we make each other better because we're on top of things. And so projects get done and we get the results that we need. And then that's how we keep learning and growing. So choosing the job is just as important as getting offered the job. That was good. I like that. I just came up with that on my own, but I think
that's good.
Point. Yeah. But yeah, so I think that's a great point. And I think my other takeaways from this are always like reaching out, always learning, being flexible. Don't think like, oh, well, my job is this. I don't want to do that. It's like, it's an opportunity to grow. And it might be growing in kind of a different direction, but if growth is what you want, then go for that, those opportunities. So this was really helpful. Thank you so much, Michael, for being available. I'm sure everyone listening learned a lot.
Thanks for the opportunity, Sydney. Yeah, appreciate it. And thanks for letting me tell a bit of my story. Yeah, if there's one thing I would just want everybody to hear, it would be say yes. And then that last piece around surrounding yourself with committed leaders and the rest will fall into place.
Yeah, awesome. Okay, thank you.